lives. We want to bless God for all the great things that He's doing in your midst over there in Spain, Zaragoza. We trust that the mercy of God is reaching out to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is 24th of March, 2024. Hallelujah. And today is a Palm Sunday. So we celebrate the goodness of the Lord with this wonderful occasion and thank God for everyone that has connected. Hallelujah. Those of you who can still send the link to others for them to be able to connect, please, by the mercies of God, if you can, just send them a link to them to let them know that today is a wonderful time to spend in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus, our Maker, is about to do something new in our midst. Amen. Amen. There's somebody on the platform. Before we go into the service of the Lord, I want to fight against every demonic attack on you by the revelations in your dreams through the actions of a dog. I saw somebody seeing a dog in your dream, and within the dream, it was more like the dog was trying to find some kind of access into attacking you or something like that. But I want to stand with you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There any form of attack from anywhere and from any pit of hell against your life and against your health, in the mighty name of Jesus. In particular, the reasons for the attack is your health. And the enemy wants to attack your health strategically. But I stand with you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I bind those forces of darkness that is seeking to bring you down in your health-wise. In the mighty name of Jesus, let their works fail. Let their plans fail. Let their weapon never succeed. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the strength of God sustain you and keep you safe and sound from every kind of attacks, from all forms of lives that the enemy may use to wage war against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are free. Your house is free. Your life is free. Your children are free. Your spouse is free. In the mighty name of Jesus, walk in the peace of God and in the freedom of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name, you are healthy in the Lord. Hallelujah. You are healthy in this life. You are healthy in all that you do. You are healthy in everywhere you go, to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God will still show us mercy and He will reveal to us the hidden truths that we need to know, and any agenda that is not of God against us by His grace, He will reveal them to us. Hallelujah. And we will override them. Hallelujah. We will override them. We will destroy them. Hallelujah. Your light is here. Your light is here. Your light has come. My light has come. And so today, being Palm Sunday, we want to celebrate the goodness of the Lord in a very strategic way. We want to thank God. I want you to open your heart and say, Father, tonight, today, in this gathering, let me be blessed. Let me be filled with a triumphant grace that is in you, the grace that causes you to move from one level to another. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are entering into the Holy Week from tomorrow, actually from today all the way to Friday. It's a very intense week. Hallelujah. And those who believe that they want to spend time with God in prayer and fastings, you can join and let's fast and pray before God. And those who want to be in a place of honor, in any kind of capacity to the glory of God, you can also be in that place. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to pray and say, Father, today in this service, let me be blessed. I want to hear your voice speak to my heart. Help me, oh God, to understand some things. Whatever is becoming a controversial situation in my mind, please make it clearer to me. Draw me to the place of knowledge that I may understand who you are. I may get the full picture of what heaven is mandating me to understand. Let's pray. Let's pray. Open yourself up unto the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Spirit of God, tonight, today in this gathering, we thank you, oh God, for the things that you began doing. And we are grateful as a family. And we are grateful as a people that you show us this. You show us grace. You release your word of hope and truth into our heart. And so we pray that, Lord, minister to the needs of our heart. In the
Yes,
name of
Lord,
Jesus,
Father.
I commit myself as a
Oh,
leader
Lord,
unto
I
your care,
commit
Spirit of
myself, oh
God.
Lord,
I choose
and I
not to
pray in the
understand anything
mighty
except
name of
what you put in
Jesus
my heart,
that
except
whatever you
please, I
will do
pray,
today,
that minister
my
through me
spirit
and bless
will
your
be
people,
present, I will be
open
part
my
of
heart
what
to the
is
things
going
and the
on.
possibilities,
Oh,
Lord
yes,
God,
oh
to
Lord, in the
understand
mighty name
and
of
the
Jesus,
mission that you want your
let
church to
me
know. I
understand
pray,
things
oh
that
God,
you
in
want
the
me to
name of
know,
Jesus
things
Christ,
that you
that
want,
any
Father,
hidden
in the
truth in
mighty
your word,
name
let it
of
be made
Jesus.
plain to me and to
Yes,
my
oh Lord,
understanding.
Father.
Help me to know
Oh,
more of
hallelujah.
God.
Let
Help me
me
to
know more of
understand
Jesus
more, God,
in
in the name of
Jesus' mighty
Jesus Christ.
name of
Oh Lord, these lips
Hallelujah,
of mine and these
Lord.
brains of mine,
Yeah.
I yield them unto your own faculties and to your own capabilities. Use it as a blessing to your people and to the world and to those who will be listening me even many years after this, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that those who hear by it, by grace, may obtain knowledge, and those who needs to run by grace, they will begin to take a step of faith and to walk towards the destiny that you have called them to. In the name of our Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
We've still missed quite a number of people. Today being Palm Sunday, I believe that a lot of people would have loved to be holding palms and other things all over the place, going up and
Amen.
down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My apologies. Yeah, my apologies. I'm almost through by the grace of God. Amen. And it's very beautiful. I can't quite remember about 30, 35 years ago when I was in back in the village as a little young man. I remember these were the times that my grandma would send me to the bush to go and cut palm trees or palm fronds and stuff like that. And then most times when we are coming from farm, like Saturday, we are all bringing our own and everybody is doing their style. Papa, the one that we use for fun, with those who weave that. I was very good in those kind of stuff. I was a bit creative, so I would design mine in a different kind of way and have all kinds of tassels in them, and I stick some flowers in the palm fronts and all that. Because what is going to happen is that when we go to church, like Sunday morning, for example, like this Sunday morning, we will all be going to church. My mom, my kids, my sisters, and my brother, everybody will be going to church. And then when we go, the body of the clergy will lead the congregation in procession with the choir. And then we will walk through the whole city, the whole town, Sekou City. Those of you who know Sekou City, that's where I come from. I'm from Sekou City. Hallelujah. And so we walk through the town and we'll be singing and be singing all the way around about and everything, and all that. And every one of those moments that we spend in those things, it established some kind of thing in me. I wish we have the privilege of doing that together. Hallelujah. Don't worry, it won't be long. By God's grace, we'll be in person service. So those of you who will be online will still be able to partake, and those who will be in physical, this will also be partaking. And we'll walk about, and the kids will be screaming with the dust on our feet and all kinds of sweat. So when the sun is coming around 11, 12 o'clock thereabout, the sun will begin to hit you hard. So those who have got the proper weaved thing can cover themselves with it. Hallelujah. So I hope that this kind of thing will also be established again by the grace of God, so that we can all enjoy the service of the Lord in that kind of capacity. Amen. Amen. But in this, I want you to draw your attention to this fact that we can do all these kind of physical gestures of celebrating the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't know who this Jesus is, every aspect of all those celebration amounts to nothing. Yeah. It doesn't count for anything. You can be a pastor to preach him. You can be a chorister to sing about him. You can be a deacon to serve in his board. You can be a church member to be whatever you want to be. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, every one of those activities will be a waste. Hallelujah. And that's
Amen.
one major thing that my heart always cries out, that the body of Christ may know Christ. Hallelujah. that the body
Amen.
of Christ will know who this Christ is. And unfortunately, we have had many people, based on my little knowledge for the past 30 years, that I knew some few things, because from 12 years, I started doing ministerial job at the age of 12. So I can say for sure that I've been in the house of the Lord for a while. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm 47
Amen.
now, and for you take 12 years from 47, you will understand how many years I've spent in the house
Amen.
of the Lord. Seven different kinds of men of God. Hallelujah. And I know for sure that at least the little knowledge I've attained for the past 30 something years has given me a little bit of privilege to be able to lead people to come to the place of knowledge of God. Because if you don't know God, no matter what you do in his house may not count for anything. That's the honest truth I can give to you. It may be of a bitter pill for you to swallow. I have seen men and people giving houses and cars and all kinds of blessings, financial blessings in millions and in billions, and yet they don't know God. They know about God, but they don't have the knowledge of the God that they know about. They don't have any encounter. They don't have any personal knowledge of him. And this becomes a very disadvantage for those who are in the house of the Lord. It is just like the Pharisees who stay in the house of God, as we did. We dealt with some few things concerning the love of God and all those bits and pieces a couple of weeks ago. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were people who understood how to interpret the law of the Lord. They could pick up the Bible and preach it strategically, but they didn't have any relationship with God. So when Jesus came, most of the people that he had much trouble with were the people in the church. It will amaze you. Those of you who read the book of Matthew, or the account of Matthew, last time my mom called me and said, the people were literally walking with Jesus Christ and still they were messing about. I said, Mommy, that's the sad reality. And it's still happening in our home. You know, they saw Jesus in person. They saw the things that he was doing. And they understood the scriptures or the Torah. But their heart was far away from God. Hallelujah. And so today, I want to draw you to that fact of having the full picture or the understanding of who God is to us as his people, especially you, who God is to you, how you can be able to differentiate between the different kinds of gods. Hallelujah. And how you'll be able to ascertain and be able to help others to know this kind of God. Hallelujah. The God you sing about, the God you talk about, the God
Amen.
Who says to be your King and your Savior. How do you know him? How do you know him? Hallelujah. Who is he to you? And that's the main thing. Amen. So today, we'll talk a little bit about that. And then I will draw you to the place of how he reacts or he sees us as his children. Amen. And,
Amen.
And this is the fact of prayer. One of the actions or aspects of prayer, that is the knowing the all-knowing God. Knowing the all-knowing God. There may not be a lot of scriptures today, but I pray that the Spirit of God will draw you to that place of the understanding of what he wants us to know about this God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The scripture says that the universe was made by him. And without him, through his son, the Bible said nothing that was made was made.
Amen.
He called everything into existence from the account of Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 2, he found it necessary that he didn't want the creations of his hands to be loose. And so he decided to make man in his own image with the crew of heaven, if I use that word advisedly, hallelujah. With the host of heaven, they made a decision to create a replica of who he is, on earth here to manage the affairs that he has made. In chapter 3, man couldn't sustain whatever he had to do. And so man let down this God. So God came in the cool of the day to ask for man, where are you? Which means that this kind of God that we serve is a God who is a God of process. He's a God who is personal. He's a God who loves. He's a God who cares. He's a God who has got so many facets of good things about him. He's not a God who creates an actions of judgment always against people, but he always seeks that men will come to the place of knowledge of who he is and the kind of love, the big or the magnitude of his love towards his people. And so he through his son Jesus Christ, he helped us to understand that if we are coming to him to create any fashions of relationship in terms of prayer, what we need to know is that he is a father. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
This gives me great assurance. I was sitting down here and I was studying not long ago, just about an hour ago. Yes, about almost an hour ago. Yeah. Maybe an hour ago, yeah, 20 past nine or so, or 23 past nine. And then Joel came to me in a singlet, in a vest, and a shorts, and came to me with some stuff in his eyes and all that. And he was squinting his eyes and said, "Daddy, I want to eat, please." And whenever he said that, he put his hands in his mouth to let you know what he means. "Daddy, I want to eat, please." And he stood next to me. And I was busy here praying and preparing for the service of the Lord. And the little man came to me and spoke to me and said, "Daddy, I want to eat, please." I said, "Have you washed your face?" He says, "No." "Have you brushed your teeth?" He says, "No." I said, "Go and do those two things and then come and tell me what you want to say." And then he went out. But when he went out, being a father, I saw it necessary to go to the kitchen to prepare his meal. So by the time he was coming back down from upstairs, from the washroom, his food was ready. What am I trying to achieve? I want you to realize that when we come before God, the Bible says that we have to see him as a father. So Matthew, the account of Matthew chapter 6 from verse 7 coming down, said that, "But when you pray," last week we dealt with alone with God. That is one facet of prayer, spending time with God alone. And this is another facet of prayer. It says, "When you pray, use not vain words, as the heathen or the hypocrites do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speakings. But you, therefore, unlike them, for your father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." So if you look at it carefully from Matthew chapter 5, from one coming down and the things that we have studied so far from January till now, we can see vividly that Jesus Christ was building a momentum to open the people up to prayer. But for them to come to the place of understanding of what prayer is, he needed to teach them the things they need to do before they approach the Father who sees in secret and who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the Father does not entertain any hypocrisy. The Bible says he hates it. He does not entertain those who carry clamor and wickedness in their hearts and in their minds. He does not entertain who carry sin in their lives. He does not allow things which does not befit him as a father or a king to be in his quarters that will limit his glory. And so Jesus Christ opens our eyes to all these facts. And one of the major things he wants us to understand is this, that he is a father who knows everything. He is a father who knows everything. Therefore, there is nothing hidden from his sight. Oh, I love that. Hallelujah. There is nothing hidden from the sight of the Lord. If God wants to deal with us, he does not want to deal with us based on our thinking that he doesn't know. We are more or less limited in our knowledge of who he is. Hallelujah. Yes. How much of God do you know? Yeah. How much of God do I know? With these small brains of mine in between my ears, how much of God can I comprehend by the strength of my knowledge? Which leaves me in a place of perplexity, because when it comes to the knowledge of God, the Bible says that it passes finding out. And therefore, one of the major things that we as his children needs to observe and be able to come to the place of acceptation is that we know that he is a father. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about part one of the fatherhood of the God figure to us. And again, the level of his knowledge as a father to us all. When I walked into the kitchen less than an hour ago, you know what I did? They usually ask for hot chocolate and stuff like that. That's their favorite. Milo and bread and toasted bread. Oh, if you give it to my son and my kids, that's it. You've killed them. Hallelujah. And so anyone coming from Canada, that is what I usually order and I request for. And now I chose to change whatever they wanted to do. So I did oats for them. And then I did their toast. And then there was a request for cheese and cheese in the sandwich and all those kind of bits and pieces, which I don't know where they learned those things from. Yes, but they want cheese in the bread. And one of them wants a toast with butter in the bread. Others also want butter without the toast. All kinds of interesting requests. But because I know what they want and I know how they want it, I prepared it before they came down. They said they would just want to eat. But when they came, I had prepared their meal and I've done it in such a way that they will not deny it. And the moment I gave it to them, all of a sudden they were excited, climbing up with their meal. It is so with God, and even better with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is better with God because, people of God, the scripture says that he knows you before you were born. Literally, he formed us in our mother's womb and he knows our frame. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so he said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, coming down, he said that, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you." So if we have this at the back of our mind, no matter what we go through in this life, we will still have a sense or a glimmer of hope in our heart, knowing that God has got my back. God has got my back because my tomorrow is surely guaranteed, according to Jeremiah 29 verse 11. "So for I know the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Which
Amen.
Means even before I go before the Father and pray to him, for him to listen to me, he has already planned my tomorrow before I began today.
Amen.
Do you understand the intensity of how powerful this God is? This gives me greater hope to serve this kind of God than any other God out there. That some of them, you have to carry them on your shoulder. You have to carry them on your head. So you have to go and find food for them. You have to go and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Some of them, you have to hit your head on the floor several times per day before they can hear your voice. Some of them, you have to cut yourself. Some of them, they have to beat their heart. All kinds of crazy stuff. Some of them are animals. Some of them are reptiles. All kinds of other things and creations and all that we are supposed to use for meat, and some of them are actually supposed to serve us. They serve them. But the God of the children of Israel, he is a God who plans for the future of his people.
Amen.
He's a God who knows everything about his people. He's a God who understands our taste, what you want. The Lord knows what you want. Hallelujah. And so if you think that you have good taste for good things, Please don't think that God is not aware of that. Hallelujah. He knows what you want. He knows what good taste you like. Hallelujah. And so verse 13, he said that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let's reverse the statement. Let's reverse the statement from Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. But let's do 13, 12, and 11. Let's go it this way. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Verse 12 goes that way. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Hallelujah. And let's come to 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. I have reversed the order of the scripture, okay? From 13, 12, and 11. Jeremiah 13, 12, and 11. This is the kind of God I'm talking about. And the Bible says that in chapter 6, verse 8 of Matthew, he says that before you came before me as a sons and as a children, I, the Lord, I knew what you were looking for. I understood what you were looking for. I knew what you were coming. When the kids came here, I knew what they were coming, because they usually come in that group. Every time I'm prepared, I'm ready here. Sometimes I'm in prayer and I'm seeking for the face of God and all that. And then they'll come, say, Daddy, Daddy. So whatever I'm doing, it doesn't matter. It does not matter how spiritually deep I am. They are concerned about their food. So the little, usually Sikia stands behind Yoel, because Yoel would just jump on my lap and wants to make sure that I stop whatever I'm doing, whether I'm watching something or whether planning something or writing something. He will come here and jump here, because sometimes the little one is baby Jesus is sleeping. But Yoel will force everything through till I stop and listen to him. That's what he does. If not, he will hold my, grab my hands, whatever he will do. And that's the kind of God I'm talking about. To us, as his children, we have this privilege of being able to go to him without having to apologize for anything.
Man.
The Bible says it in Hebrews that we should come before God with boldness. Which means that when sometimes going there, literally you just open the door and enter. And then the angels say, hey, go back and do the necessary thing. Have you said that to your kids before? Oh. Go and knock. Go back and knock and knock and knock at the door before you come in.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So if that is what makes us people of a great value to him, that we have the courage and the boldness to enter before him and tell him, the Lord, I need this. But one thing that he's warning us with all diligence and with all caution is this: that we shouldn't think that God is not aware of what we are going through. And that's one of the major things that baffles a lot of Christians and a lot of people, and makes our prayer too long and less value. I'm trying to draw your attention to something when it comes to prayer, so that 1 minute before God becomes like 1 year that you have spent with him, if you have the understanding of what I'm talking about tonight, this morning.
Amen.
He is to us a father who knows what we need before we come to him. And he hears our voice before we spoke it. Whatever it is within us, it is he that formed it and fashioned it in the knowledge of his own will. That he knows for sure that when we come to him in any capacity as children, he will be sure to make sure that everything that we need is given to us. So he says that, do not use vain repetitions. I will explain even further about that. That will help some people to think that, oh, because I heard in other places that, oh, when you pray it once, that's it. God has heard about it. No, 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 no. It's not about that. It is not about Jesus Christ is drawing the attention of these people to help us to understand that the Pharisees, because they were men of law and they were men who were well educated, they studied the law and the principles and everything in the law, but they had no much knowledge about this God. And so when they came before God, they usually spoke with all kind of big grammatical languages that makes the ears of the listeners around, like brothers and sisters around, to think that, ha, this brother there, he's making some major decrees and declarations. So, hey, his prayers, when it hits you, it will knock you down before even God answers. That was the kind of feel that was going on in the church at the time. In the synagogue, the people who could speak the language. Have you been to the court before when you have met a very eloquent lawyer who knows his law, who knows his stuff, and is defending even somebody at guilt who is guilty, and they can still defend the person and set them free? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were the kind of people who met in the church. Yeah. That was how the body of Christ was. So sometimes when you went into the temple and then you hear them speaking, sometimes those of us who couldn't have much vocabulary to be able to express ourselves, we feel shorten of being able to say anything, and we wonder and we hide ourselves. So Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. They speak words and repeat words to make men know that they know what they are talking about. But the Bible says that when you are coming before God, it's not about the knowledge of what you are talking about, but it's about the knowledge of who you are talking to, who knows what you are going to talk about. Do you understand the principle? If you have the full knowledge of your God, then you know that whatever you are dealing with, even if you don't know what you are dealing with, he knows what you are dealing with, and for that matter, you want him to deal with the matter you don't know. But if you come to him to let him know that you know what you are dealing with, and then you are calling his attention to deal with what you know already, then there is no answer for you. And that is what the trouble of the church is. Yes. We think that we know. We think that we can quote scriptures. We think that we can make declarations and decrees. We think that we are closer to God, and so we can gyrate and make all kinds of pronouncements and make all kinds of words so that men will feel and think that we are powerful. But please, 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 we are talking about the all-knowing God. He knows what you did last night anyway. So what are you talking about? He knows how you blasted your husband and the way you treated your wife. He knows everything. He knows how the talks that you were chatting on phone with your boyfriend. He knows the pictures you were sending around. He knows everything. So what are you coming to express yourself in the church and make people feel that you are too spiritual? And then, you know, please, 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 let's give room. Hallelujah. Let's give room for the Lord to operate in our midst. And so Jesus said that when you pray, use not. So he's helping us to narrow our prayer to the concise position that, Lord, I need help. If that's all that you can pray out, if that's all that your makings or your declarations is, he who hears in secret and sees in secret, the Bible says that he will reward you openly. So prayer, in effect, is not a public event for the deep spiritually rooted person, though it is. And it can be a public matter. I've said something very strategic. I hope and I pray that when this book comes out, a lot of people will rush for it so that their prayer life can be well examined. Because people of God, if you don't know God, that he knows what you are dealing with, you go out there, embarrass yourself before him. Trying to educate God about your problem is a futile exercise. Trying to bring the knowledge of God or open his eyes to see what is going on. Because most people have said it before, including David. He said, Lord, behold. The apostles also said the same thing and said, Lord, behold, they are threatening. Do you think that God wasn't aware that people were threatening them and were saying that don't speak about this name, the name of this God anymore. Don't come and preach. Do you think that God wasn't aware of what was going on? Can you imagine me going before God and I'm going to tell the Lord my skin is black, you know, and because of that, with the education that I'm in, everybody is white and they are not listening to me and they don't respect and value me and blah, 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 and all that. Do you think? I remember one of the fathers of old, his eminence to the glory of God, who is going into glory. Archbishop Duncan, Nicholas, I say Nicholas, sorry, my apologies of him. What's his name? My eyes is just right in his face. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, he was crying out and speaking to God and telling God, that Lord, because you have made me black. Idahosa. He raised all the men that I'm just mentioning now. His Eminence, okay. The Archbishop, he raised him up. Archbishop Benson Idahosa says this, that, listen, Lord, you made me black and my skin is black. That is why the anointing is not upon my life. And all the white people, and he kept on mentioning the names of white men who are, and the Lord called and mentioned, and said, Idahosa, I never knew that you are black. So drew his attention. So the is the grace of God focused on the color of your pigmentation or the depth of your heart towards me? So when you wake up and let me know the kind of God who makes black people and white people, then you educate me on that. People of God, none of us can educate God about the condition of our lives. No one. No one can come to the knowledge of God to explain to God's understand the Lord, this son of mine is messing about and I need your help to be able to straighten him up. You can't. Because before you even thought about it, he gave you the child for you to give birth to. So whatever condition about this child, it is to your advantage to tell him, the Father, I thank you for knowing that my son is going to be in this state. And I thank you that you will bring him to the expected end, as you have spoken in Jeremiah 29:11.
Amen.
This pushes God to a particular position that makes him begin to make things work out for you in such a way and in such a dramatic way that you stand and say, that is my God. Hallelujah. That is Amen. My God. He shows Amen. Himself strong in the place of my weakness. And I don't have any strength on me. Hallelujah. I don't have Amen. Any might on me. Sometimes my wife will say that sometimes you make yourself so cheap for others to all ride over you and all that. I said, my dear, then who am I? Who am I to make myself so expensive for the world to feel that this guy, you can't buy him? But if God is on my side, if the Lord respects and values the grace that he has deposited in me, if what I carry is something that heaven gave to me, then those who value who this God is will respect and value who I am. And so I came to you today to help you to understand that God is aware. That's all that I came to tell you tonight, today, in this meeting, that God is aware. So whatever problem or condition of service or condition of life, a relationship that you are in, a marriage that is not taking, a union that is not working out, a joy that is not picking up, everything that's going on around you, he is aware. But you know what? He wants you to come to the place of knowledge of who he is to you in that situation. That's all. That's all. That's all God is looking for us to do. So those of you who is listening to me on radio today, and you are thinking that your life has passed you by, and you are aging, you are growing, and all that I have is just one child, and I don't know how marriage is going to be and all that. Listen to me carefully. God is aware. But are you aware of this God who is aware of what you are aware of? Draw closer to him, my dear. Please, draw closer to him. Because all that he's seeking for is that you make him a father figure over your life. That's all that God is looking for. Make him a father figure over the equations of your life. Because when we talk about men and we are focusing on men's activity and willingness to support us, I'm telling you, the disappointment that we will engage in will be shocked to our bones. I'm telling you, how men will disappoint you, you will cry for mercy. Yeah, including those that has helped you. That you have helped yourself, you have used your resources to build up, they will turn around and stab you in the back to a point where it is not the pain, but the actions of these people and what you have done in for them. David will speak out this way, the Lord, I did them no evil, even my own necessary food, I ignored it and I fasted for them, and yet they are paying me evil for good. Yeah, that was the prayer of David. He was crying about those that he did good to. What didn't David do? The songs that he sang to Saul, and to make sure that Saul's life was spared and his life was preserved, his sickness. The guy had evil spirits upon him as a king. And these things came up from time to time to trouble him. And he was a king of Israel that God established him in there. And this young man will come and sing some songs of beautiful thing, and then the power of this forces of darkness on his life will be removed and he will have his freedom. He brought victory to Israel to make sure that Israel gains victory over the Philistines by defeating Goliath with his own bare hands. He didn't carry any weapon from the people. He had only the things that he used to kill bears and used to drive other wild animal away. That is a sling. And this brother managed to kill Goliath, who was a giant and had a sword and everything with him. Brought victory to Israel. He didn't seek for anything except the woman, the promise that the king had given. And he was just walking by and just going his home, a young man. But the king wasn't so pleased. And now Saul wants to kill him for 21 attempts on his life. 21 attempt from Saul to kill David, he engaged in. What wrong did David do? But one thing that David did was this. He knew who God is, or who God was to him. He knew God. He knew God as a father. He knew God as a king. He knew God as his source. He knew God as his strength. He knew God as his shield. He knew God as his protector and his provision. Everything that he wanted, he knew that God was capable, because every victory that he walked in, he said that to them, that he, the Lord who gave me victory over the bear and over the lions, will give me victory to before you today. And it happened just as he invoked who God was to him, that it was he that brought him victory. So this leads me to this point, that every former victory that the Lord has given to us as sons and daughters of his king, of this king, we must always rehearse it in his ears. Do you hear what I said?
Amen.
That God is aware of whatever we are going through, but whatever he has done for us in the past, we have to use that as a point of reference to come before him and say, Lord, you did this for me. And for that, I know that you can do this one too. Because the capability does not fail in the face of adversity. I'll say it again. The capability of our God does not fail in the adversity, in the face of adversities of our life. It doesn't fail. The only thing that fails is our faith and our confidence in his ability. And this can be a detriment to our own challenges that we're going through. So the Bible says that when you are praying, you should not match up or heap up a lot of words to express a lot of things. Lord, I live in West Legon, you know, on Kumasa Street. When you come, my gate is green gate, and the brown, the walls are brown and yellow. And when you make sure that when you are climbing, I have a particular wall, fence which are high, and I have barbed wires upon it. And when you are coming, the one of the side gate is white, and the other one has got a padlock in it. Sometimes the
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Forgive me, I'm describing where I know, okay?
Free trip.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And when you are coming, the floor is all paved. Now they have done the road. The road works is not even complete. And make sure that when the angels are coming, they don't stop. They don't get stabbed. Listen, before the Bible says that we say anything, God is aware.
Amen.
God is aware. That thing settles a lot of matters in my heart. I'm telling you, it settles a lot of matters in my heart. So when I'm going before God in prayer, I start from that notion. I start from that knowledge. I start from that place saying, the Father, you are already aware. So help.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Is it that I am doing that is not right that will hinder you from bringing answers to me now? So I start from that place. I begin to work on myself to make sure that whatever I'm going to do before God or going to present before God, I am in standing order with Him, so that when I stretch my hands and I said, I command this situation to calm down or to adhere to my voice, and I know that God will back it,
yes.
I've
Amen.
Already done my homework.
Amen.
If I don't do that and I proceed thinking that because I call myself a Christian, and for that matter, God is obliged to answer me, I have failed. And then, if I'm not seeing results, I begin to pronounce a whole lot of things, quote scriptures, make declarations and decrees, and all those kind of... what results would I get? Nothing. Zero. And so Jesus says, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Don't think that you know it all. And for that matter, what do you repeat? You repeat what you know. Yeah. Whatever it is that you know, that it is something that you know, that's what you repeat. So vain repetitions is against the principles of the knowledge of God. He says that come before Him. Let me explain the difference between vain repetitions and also re-emphasizing on what you are praying. There are two different things. When Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when He went to the Gethsemane throne, Gethsemane garden, the Bible says that He was praying and asking the Father to take the weight of the actions of death away from Him. He didn't hear an answer. There was silence. The brothers who were supposed to go with Him to pray, they were sleeping. And the matter, the Bible said that His heart was full of sorrow even unto death, which means that the intensity of the pressure of death was weighing on Him already. So He was seeking for a way out, and He was praying. And the Bible said that He went further up and prayed the same prayer. The same prayer. It is not about expressing the fact that you know about the situation, and for that matter, you are using words, but rather you are drawing God's attention for Him to have mercy upon you, that you are not changing your mind. Hallelujah. I am not changing my mind, and I'm not changing my confession until the Lord comes through for me. And so, Lord, remember what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And that was the difference between Jesus' prayer and the prayers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because they thought that when He prays, they praise and quote the scriptures and bring out all kinds of gibbons and gyrations, that is when the presence of God will be felt or be felt so strong. And so they want to quote scriptures. It's important. I'll come to that place. The three most powerful things to say in prayer, we'll get to that place. There is a lot of things to learn when it comes to prayer. The three most powerful things to say, one of them is the word of God. I will explain, I will expand to it how far it goes. Hallelujah. But today, what he sent me to come and tell you is this, that He is aware. He is aware that you are single. So make yourself a wife material. Not praying. There are two different things. I would say that I hope that my sisters who are not married on the platform, who desire to be settled as wives, they will understand this. There are a lot of women who wants to marry and to be married, but there are few who are making themselves a wife material so that when they walk into marriage, they fit in there. Hallelujah. The fact that you are female doesn't make you a wife. Yes. But when you are a wife, you are material and something that can fit in a home of a man that has prepared themselves for the Lord to be used to harness all the grace that is found in you. So please, let us begin to think twice when we approach God. Amen. When we approach God, we have to have the knowledge, knowing that He knows all things. So if He knows all things, He knows your problem and He knows your faults. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your inabilities. He knows your strength and He knows how far you can walk with Him. So do not go in the place of thinking that God is not aware of who you are and why you are and how you are and when you are and where you are. I've said five things. God is aware of who you are. He is aware of where you are. He is aware of what you are. He is aware of all the things that encompass it, who you are to Him. He's aware. He's aware. So we must make sure that there's a place of righteousness in us that connects us to His capabilities, so that when we are demanding, Posandro Kitala Sitaratosh, Vambra Kurobo Sumvran Sandi Karatosa Brandi, Hanson de Cabros Cabo Savonda Ekratas, then His hand begins to work for us. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, coming down, the Bible says, this is what the Lord says. Oh Lord, Habashino. This is what said, do not let the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong man boast of their strength, or the rich of their riches. Hallelujah. But let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me. So if there is anything for me to boast about this morning, it is the fact that I try and I desire to know God, the one who will answer the prayer for me. So when I'm coming to Him, I'm not coming to Him because of my level of education as a PhD career or with all the degrees as a thermometer. No, but rather I understand that I know God, that He says, I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight. The Lord delights in that. Masumbro kapadis. There are a few things that He has spoken about. He has spoken about His kindness. He has spoken about His justice. He has spoken about His righteousness on earth here. And these four things are the things that the Bible says that He delights in them. Yeah. He delights in them. So don't come to God and assume that He's not aware of your things. And a pastor, I remember, we were dealing with a man of God, a very potent man of God. That, I don't know how to put it, that will save the situation, but it's a very important thing to my heart. The man of God went to have sex with one of the members. I'll go straight to the point. And then he came from that place and came to minister. I was there in the day of ministration. But in the actions that they did, I wasn't there. But after we did everything, the lady who came, whom he did that with, came to me and told me, and then we sat down and we did the whole thing. The first time I threw a punch in, the first time I fought another man of God with blows, who was that day. Yeah.
Oh.
Dansuman, Tunga Janshe. I remember very well. There was a place called is it Gold House? They do Watch Boutique. Those of you, this is quite a while ago, about 25 or 26 years ago. Yeah. And this brother came with so much prophetic grace upon his life that that day he prophesied. I'm talking about prophecy upon prophecy into details. Meanwhile, he just went and had fornication and came to the service of the Lord, and we were fasting and praying, not knowing that he had gone out there to go and mess about and come and prophesy. In the service that I was in there, me, him, and another man of God, we spoke together on that day in that pulpit. The presence of God was so strong, ministering all over. We used to minister on Accra, Channel R. I used to minister on Channel R. Those of you who don't know, I don't know where it is now. Yeah, I used to minister there in Channel R. With him, the power of God was strong. And then the following day, we came to church again. It was a couple of week, a week revival. And this lady came to me and said, "Sofa, I need to talk to you." And then she called me to the side and then began to tell me a whole lot of stuff. I said, "Listen, I don't understand something. I don't understand. I don't understand. How come that a man of God can be so anointed and still messing about like this?" And I said, "Well, tell me the truth. You tell me everything." And then she began to open up and cry. And she brought evidence. I'm telling her of things that I've dealt with. She brought evidence. People of God, we need to know God for ourselves, you know?
Amen.
We need to know God for ourselves. Can you imagine this great congregation sitting down? At that time, I remember Dansuma Tunga Junction. I don't know, the church is still there. I heard it is still there. But I just washed my hands off, and I didn't want to do anything with that situation anymore. So from that time till now, I've never been there anymore. The Bible says that he is the God who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth here. But it is up to those who desire to understand to know him. And this brother was messing about everywhere, everywhere. And people were paying. And people were, I mean, sometimes I remember one time they even called him to the castle to go and minister there. Because he had affiliation with the account. What's the name of the one who deals with the finance of Ghana at that time? I've forgotten his name. Yeah. He had some ministrations and other things, and some one major officer came and he got his healings and deliverances and all that. I remember I administered that healing. I prayed through to that minister, and then that brought healing. And then they called him to the castle to go and minister there in castle. By that time, the brother was having affair all over the place, messing about, touching women everywhere, and the testimony started coming in. So when this one came in, now I began to inquire about the ladies who were close to her to him. So because of that, now he had to change our location of sleep. He didn't want me to sleep close to him anymore. So he gave me a different person to go and stay with the person. People of God, I'm talking of things that men are using all over the place to draw people's attention without people letting people to know God for themselves, so that they can stand on their feet to spend time with God. And they are using every kind of gimmicks to buy the attentions of men. Today, I'm here to open your eyes. The Bible says that when you are coming before Him, one, you have to know that He's a God who knows all things and He's a father figure. And again, He understands the situation that you are in. And so don't try to come and use all kinds of words to try to win him. You won't win God. He cannot be won by the eloquency of man's wisdom. He can never be won by that. You can never win. I will emphasize on this. You can never win God with your eloquency. If he can use a donkey to speak, he can speak through anything.
Amen.
Yes. I'm telling you, go ask the brother who was going to prophesy for money. If God could use a donkey to speak, he can speak through it. Literally, he gave you the ability to speak. And therefore, what have you got to say that he doesn't know? And this is what we are not going to talk about. You listen to me carefully. You go into the churches today, being Palm Sunday, go and see the preachers that's on the pulpit. And they're talking about the triumphal entry. They're talking about Hosanna. They're talking, do you know the meaning of Hosanna? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us as a body. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
I don't want
Amen.
You to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty. But this is what the Lord requires of us from Jeremiah chapter 9. He says that this is what the Lord wants us to do. Those who can boast, don't boast in your wisdom. Don't boast in your strength. Don't boast in your riches. Don't boast in your affiliation. Oh, I know this brother. Or oh, I have contact of this one. It is all good. It is all good to have contracts and know all the mornings and everything. Jeremiah 29 verse 23 is what I'm talking about. And 24 says that, but let the one who boasts, boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises justice, I exercise kindness, and I exercise righteousness on earth, not in heaven, on earth here. So if God is a kind God, then whatever you're going through, he will show you kindness. He's a God of justice. Any injustice that's going on in your life on earth here, he will make sure that justice is prevailed for you. If the God of righteousness, whatever sin, actions that you're going through, he knows it and he will not partake of it. And therefore, he wants you to walk with righteous heart. This opens to you a place of delight in the heart of the Lord. So when you go on your knees, you don't have to spend 1 minute to get your answer.
Amen.
Yes, you don't have to spend 1 minute to get your answer. So even if you want to walk with this mindset, knowing that he is a father and he knows all things and he's aware of my condition, then I want to make things right with him. I want to do, I don't want to do anything that may seem as if that, oh, I've got God on my side. Oh, God is here. Oh, God is this and all that. Let me tell you something strategic that will shock you. Let me tell you something. In Jeremiah 31, the Bible says that this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel.
Amen.
After this time, that says the Lord, that I will put the law in their minds and write them in their hearts. So every single human being that connects to God, you no longer have to look into the Bible to be able to know the law of God. Automatically, the law of God is written inside of you.
Amen.
So if you are doing what is right, whether you believe God or not, listen to me. People all over the world, some of them say, oh, I don't know God. I don't want to believe God. One of my friends at work, he said he doesn't know God. He doesn't want to believe God. About five times have I spooked on him, and has he shouted Jesus Christ louder than I can shout in the workplace? Yes. Yes. I'm telling you. Every time, one day I said to him, listen, brother, I have to tell you the truth. You shout Jesus better than I do. As a pastor, you shout Jesus Christ better than I do at this workplace. And I don't know why, but he's a guy, he's a chubby big guy, you know, an Englishman. But when I spoke on him, say, I can just, and he shout out Jesus Christ several times. But he says he doesn't know him. He doesn't have to do anything with him and everything. So last week, I said to him, brother, you better begin to think about this Jesus you shout about. You know, the word of the Lord, according to Jeremiah 31, verse 33 and 34, said, this is the covenant now I have. So I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. No matter who you are, you have the instructions of God on your heart. So no longer will I teach their neighbor, or we will teach our neighbor next door, or go and tell them that, and all this, tell them. No, 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 no. Everyone who stands on the street to speak about the Lord God and everything, everyone knows God. They know God maybe in a different way, or maybe not much clarity to them, but inside of them, there is this quest concerning agnostics and the atheists and all the rest of the people all over the world. There is this seed that has been planted in us that causes us to seek for a deity or something higher than us. That is God.
Amen.
But one good thing that the word of the Lord says in 34, it said, no longer will I teach, no longer will we teach our neighbors who God is, or say to one another, know the Lord your God, because they will know me for themselves. and even the least of them to the greatest. And so the Bible says that the Lord says that I, the Lord, will forgive them and forgive their iniquities, their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more when they come to me.
Amen.
That is why we go out and tell about the love of God. That listen, the love of God still stands. Whatever you need from him, he will help you to understand and he will forgive your sins. So people of God, it is not to us to think that God is not aware of what we are going through, but he is aware of everything. But he wants us to make amends with ourselves, with him and with his spirit and the things that he has put in our coffers so that we can begin to walk right before him. Don't go there and go and explain all matters. He is aware. The Bible said that no one lives in him keeps on sinning. And sin actually makes the statements that we pronounce before God prolong. I'll tell you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Said, the Bible said, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. And no one who continues in sin either seen him or know him. If you don't know God, you will continue to sin. But if you come to the place of knowledge of him and proper knowledge of him, you don't even want to desire about sin. Sin has got no place in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I pray by the message of God that our desire is to know him as a father figure over our life. And then the second point is that we have him at the back of our mind that he is aware. God is aware. Not only your problems, but your state. Yeah, he's aware of how you love him. He's aware of the seed that you have sown. He's aware of the things that you haven't done. He's aware of the matters that you are bringing before him as a controversial situation. He's aware of your behavior in the house as a wife. He's aware of your behavior as a husband. That you go out there and the text messages that you are sending to other people. God is aware of all of them. He's aware of the girlfriend and boyfriend things that you are doing. He's aware of everything, though. Yeah, you may not show it to the pastors and the men of God, but God is aware. A pastor, man of God, listening to me, God is aware how you study his word, the time you spend in prayer, the way you talk to others. He is aware of everything. He's aware. It's not only the problem that we're going through. That's sometimes that's what we shout out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But have you ever shout out about your sin as well? Have you? And so we said, the Lord is not answering us. Hallelujah. There are a few things that I want to brush through quickly for you to understand this so that we can pick up by God's grace. From the book of Matthew chapter 5 so far, the things that we have studied from chapter 5 and now we've walked into chapter 6 and coming down. Let me show you some few things that we can see from here. That God can and will be seen.
Amen.
Number one, God can be seen and he will be seen. Number two, he loves those who create peace. He loves peacemakers. Number three, he has a dwelling place. There's a place for God. You'll come to that place and we will understand. When we are doing the prayer, our Father who art in heaven and blah, 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 and all that, we'll talk about 23 facts about the Lord's prayer. And I don't know how long it will take us, but it's a lot of things. Every one of them is an hour. So we are having 23 hours of teachings about just the Lord's Prayer. So please, those who want to know more about prayer, please come. Hallelujah. Number four, he is glorified by good works. So every good actions that you have done anywhere, those of you who have been sowing seed for us to also bless other people, he is glorified by that. By God's grace, I want to tell all of you, by the grace of God, that by his grace, this is not to blow our horns, but by his grace, we're able to support some medical expenses for some pregnant women.
Amen.
Yes, I'm pregnant. Say, <hey. laughs> mommy says, hey. Yes, mommy, we did. We saw some pregnant women, an advantage that they were struggling with some financial opportunities to be able to buy some medication. So we decided to jump in there to help. Hallelujah. Amen. And we helped some widows as well and stuff like that. Amen. One thing I'm praying to God is that anyone that will be born into this assembly, the church will take upon us to support the child till the child finishes university.
Amen.
That is my desire. Yeah. That any child that will be born in this assembly, Any member that your child is born in this assembly, the church will take upon ourselves to be able to support the church one way or the other, either to buy a pen, to buy books, or to pay their fees, or to whatever. So long as the strength of the Lord gives us the opportunity, we'll use that to support or be in the life of the child till they finish their university. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. It is possible. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Number five, he blesses the just and the unjust. That's one thing that really sometimes kicks me, that God blesses the just and the unjust. Mm. Why are you blessing the unjust also? But he is God. Mm. Yes, sometimes you, well, some of you are too righteous, so you don't think about that. But for me, with all the prayers I'm praying and fastings and other things and all the things that I'm going through, look at me. Yesterday, I slept for the longest while. I slept just to recuperate my health, to be able to stand on my feet again. And I was struggling and all that. And I slept all day, almost all day. Yeah. And yet now God, who blesses now, is blessing the unjust as well. God, it's only you. But for me, I would say, Lord, bypass them, escape those ones, you know, add it to my account, please, I beg.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number six, that we have to realize that God is perfect.
Yes. Amen.
Number seven, he also rewards obedience. Yes. Amen. So there is no single obedience in this life that one does that God will never reward. That one there. It is something that holds him like a chain. That if you say that come and you came, if you say that sit and you sat, if you say that give and you gave, if you say that bring and you brought, whatever you did, he rewards it. It is his nature. Hallelujah. Number eight, he is a father to all who obeys. So literally, those who walk in obedience, you have him as a father. So for me to call God as a father, I have to consider that has my obedience complete? Have I been able to complete my obedience before him? If not, I can make amends now. That's the beauty of God. That if your obedience is not complete, you can literally make amends right there and then. You don't need to wait for the pastor to do it. You don't need to wait tomorrow. No, you can make your obedience complete now. Say, Father, I want to make amends with you. I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ that have mercy on me. I pray that I've disobeyed, but forgive me. The moment you stand in there, genuinely confesses, automatically he turns around and picks you back up again. And you stand on your feet by his message to do what is right, and his favor shines upon you as a father. Number nine, he forgives Amen. All sins. He forgives all sins. So those who think that there are some things, this sin there, oh Charlie, this one there, I beg. It's too big. God will not care about me. My apologies. God will not care about me. Forget. Let me go to hell with it. Let me go to hell with it. Please don't go to hell with your sins. Don't go to hell with your sins. Please. Every sin that you have committed yesterday, the day before, last night, before you came here, and even tomorrow, if you are willing to go before him genuinely and prepared to come away from it, he will help you. He will forgive you. Hallelujah. Amen. And one thing that he doesn't like is hypocrisy. That's point number 10. He hates those who are hypocrite. That you know for sure that you loved what you did wrong, and you are trying to pretend, Lord, forgive me, you know. It was me. It was her. She, the way she blasted me, I had to give it back to her for her to feel that next time, you know. He doesn't like hypocrisy. He doesn't like hypocrisy. He wants you to be fair. He wants you to be genuine. He wants you to come before him. Say, Lord, I'm mad. I'm crazy at you. Tell him as you feel. Yes. There's a woman who was so sick, and to a point that I got to a point that she began to say, Lord, I have prayed all this while up to this point. I haven't had any healing. And now I hate you. And he began to curse God. He said, I will curse you till I die. She opened the window and pronounced all kinds of curses and swear words with her mouth and everything. And Jesus walked in.
Oops.
Jesus walked in, and Jesus showed, you know, the presence of Jesus comes in with his love. So his love overshadows your sin, and that is what breaks men. And then it broke her. She cried out, so she couldn't cry anymore. Yeah. So, oh, so is that what? And all of a sudden, by the time she finished crying, the sickness had gone. And now she regrets herself for shouting and screaming and then loud buffing, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but you know, with every word or every blasphemy from his from her mouth, she spoke it out against God, because God hasn't healed her. But she was genuine. She was genuine before God and telling God, I've prayed all the prayers, it doesn't work. And it shows me that you are a liar. You are not truthful. You are, your word is not true. And all that kind of, and then started swearing and everything. And now God's walk, Jesus walks into her bedroom. She says she had opened the window. All of a sudden, she saw a ray of sun coming in. And all of a sudden, the room was white and everything. She couldn't see anything. It dropped her. And then all of a sudden, the love of God began to shine on her heart. My apologies. Okay. And then she felt the need to repent, and she began to repent and ask for forgiveness, and the Lord showed her mercy. People of God, God forgives all sins. He hates hypocrisy. Hallelujah. And he is all-knowing. He's omniscient. That is the topic for today. He's all-knowing. He knows all things, and he has the knowledge of all things. Again, we have to realize that he hears all prayers. Yes, he hears all prayers. That's the strange thing. The Bible says that some prayers are abominations before him. The prayers of the sinner, the sinner's prayer is an abomination before him. But the prayers he hears is the prayer of repentance. So when he comes before, when you come before him, remember that he hears all prayer. But the ones that he can choose to answer are the ones that are genuine before him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Again, the last one that I want to give to you is that he has a kingdom to set up on earth here. And he has his will to also to be done.
Amen.
He has his will to be done.
Amen. He has his
will to be done. So when you have any agenda to do, seek for the will of God and say, Father, what can I do to also make sure that this thing can be done on earth here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
By so doing, you can draw the attention of God. You can draw the love of God. You can draw the mind of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Loving one another is a sign of loving God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen.
Loving one another is a sign of loving God. Spending time in his house is a sign of loving God. It's not only going to church, carrying something, driving all the way and sitting down, and then the pastor come and sprinkle some water upon you and all that. That makes you feel spiritual. No. But these are the things that will make us spiritual. The desire to know God. The desire to build more of his purposes and his character in us. If we do this, the word of the Lord says that if we seek him, he will be found by us. If we seek him with all our heart, and then we will call upon him and pray to him, and he will listen to us, because he has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us, not
Amen.
To harm us, to give us hope and a future. This is
Amen.
What the Lord has sent me to come and share with you today. So please, if you feel that this word has got something to do with you, please make amends with him this morning. Say, Father, today is Palm Sunday. I pray that Lord forgive me of all my errors and mistakes and sins, my negligence, disobedience, and make me stand right before you. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. We thank you through your Holy Spirit to energize us and to open our minds and our hearts towards the need for. We pray this day, O God, that wherever we fall short, Lord, help us in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for forgiveness of sins, O God, that we have committed, the things that we have omitted, the things that we neglected, the things that we had to do but we didn't do, all the excuses that we gave. Please forgive us from today. Give us a clean seat for us to start afresh by your grace. We know that you are able. You are a father who cares. You want a relationship with us, and we desire more, oh God, also. In the name of Jesus Christ, let everyone listening, Lord, be blessed. And let us find in our heart to be able to make amends with you, oh God. and draw closer to you and walk with you in all ways, in all matters, and in all conditions and situations. It may be rough, but you are aware. It may be good, but you are aware. It may not be good at all, but you are aware. No matter what we are in, we are well pleased because you are aware. We shall not be shouting on top of our voices to think that you are not close by. From today, we shall be close to you. So when you whisper, we can hear. When you call, we will understand and we will respond. We thank you. We honor you through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.